The following content is strictly designed for the enjoyment of a mature adult audience. Headphones are recommended as these stories are recorded in left-to-right dimensional stereo.
Make sure you listen to this episode so you don't miss all this.
Yes, fuck, don't stop. I beg you, don't stop.
As she hungrily sucks on the caveman's cock, she wonders if his cum will taste different too.
She wasn't protected. And she still wanted Nick to come inside her?
I'm bisexual, so that shows up in a lot of my stories.
Squatting over his eagerly waiting mouth, hesitantly releasing a warm golden stream.
Well, hello there, lovely listeners, and welcome back to another tantalizing episode of All the Filthy Details, where we explore the sultry realms of literature that make your pulse race and your imagination run wild. I'm your host, Angelica. And can you believe it? We're already cruising through the middle of the year. Time flies when you're, well, talking about sexy books, doesn't it? But fear not, my dear friends, because here at All the Filthy Details, we're all about making sure your year is filled with plenty of spicy reads to keep you warm, no matter what the weather's like outside. Speaking of keeping things hot, we have a treat for you in today's episode. That's right, folks. We've scored an exclusive interview with none other than our latest star recommendation winning author himself, Sean Geist. So crack a window, because things are about to get steamy. But wait, there's more. Joining us for a delightful chat is the one and only erotic writer and editor extraordinaire, Rachel Kramer Busel. Christian Pan will be picking her brain about all things naughty and nice in the world of erotica. And of course, what would an episode of All the Filthy Details be without Filth, the erotic book review? Today, we'll be delving into the works of Nicole Cayley, Morning Wood, and Tiny Sparks, guaranteed to ignite more than just your imagination. Now, we know you love erotica, so let's kick off the show with a preview of something new. This is from Tina Turnser, written by Lily of the Gutter and available exclusively on our Patreon. Enjoy!
This is a partial story for All the Filthy Details. Head on over to the Patreon for the full audio. Links are in the description.
Chapter 1. The crisp morning air greeted me as I locked the front door behind me. The sun had fully emerged, casting a warm glow on the neighborhood. I heaved a sigh as I approached my car. It had been around 3 years since I got the car, and it's been quite helpful. The engine roared to life, and I carefully backed out of the driveway. The streets were busy with the usual morning activity, neighbors walking their dogs, kids waiting for the school bus, and the distant hum of traffic, too. My destination was Tina's salon. I stumbled upon her salon a month ago, but for some mysterious reason, I never stepped foot inside. Finally, it's time for me to experience it for the first time. As I stepped into the salon, I was immediately struck by its impeccable appearance.
You're listening to All the Filthy Details.
Still speaking as loudly as she could to beat the music. I was quite tired and thought it wasn't a bad idea to escape for a few minutes, so I agreed. She led me out through the back, and we arrived at a dimly lit spot. It wasn't so quiet. I could hear the muffled sounds of different people moaning all around, but I strangely couldn't see them. I guess Tina caught me looking around because she asked,
"You're searching for the sources of those moans, aren't you?"
I couldn't help but smile. "Yeah, I am," I replied truthfully, adding a nod.
"Come on then, they're not quite far from us,"
she told me, quickly leading me further into the area. We arrived at another spot, and my mouth hung open in shock. Right in front of us were different pairs in different positions, some that I'd never tried, all engrossed in intense lovemaking sessions. Could I call that lovemaking? I'd rather say fucking each other's brains out. With the help of the light, I could see how some of the ladies' faces were stained by their mascara. They must have shed a few tears as a result of the intense thrusts they were receiving. I could also see a few lesbians fingering each other, their fingers moving so fast I could barely catch up with their movement. "This is insane," I voiced out to Tina.
"Insane?"
she repeated, followed by a light chuckle.
"Girl, this is the life of the club. This is what we mostly come here for. It's the main fun."
I was utterly baffled by her behavior. It was something completely foreign to me, something I had never experienced or witnessed before. Meanwhile, Tina seemed to be quite familiar with it. Evidently, this was not her first encounter with such a situation, not even the 10th time.
"Would you like us to watch them more or leave? I'm starting to feel seriously horny. My whole pussy is in fire right now, and I think I'm gonna fuck an unknown guy if I keep standing here."
As much as I wanted to leave, I was unable to move my legs. I was practically glued to the spot, same as my eyes, which were glued to a particular couple who were going at it like sex-starved dogs. I wondered why they couldn't just wait to go home and enjoy the moment more comfortably.
"Well, like I said, it's more fun here. They believe it's more enjoyable here than in their homes,"
I heard Tina tell me. "Huh? What are you talking about?" I inquired, quite confused, attempting to voice out my thoughts.
"Well, you were quietly ranting about why these sex-starved dogs couldn't fuck each other in the comfort of their homes."
"Right. I'd voiced out my thoughts unintentionally."
"I guess you want us to watch for a few more minutes. To do that, we have to act like we're having sex, too. I'm not so interested in watching, but since it's your first time, you can."
I was quite confused. "How are we going to act like we're having sex? We're both ladies, remember?" Perhaps she forgot about our sexuality.
"Are you blind, Nadia? There are countless ladies here. I could just finger you for a few minutes."
"What?" I exclaimed. You'll finger me?"
"Yeah, only for as long as you want to watch them have fun, okay?"
I've never kissed a woman before, Tina. I told her truthfully, my eyes still stealing glances at those fucking each other. My favorite pair were still going hard at it.
"Well, you don't have to worry about that. Pretend it's your boyfriend and loosen up."
I gulped down saliva. "It won't be hard. You just have to imagine she's him," I told myself. I agreed with her suggestion and inhaled deeply, slowly exhaling. I was damn wet already. She led me to a nearby wall and rested my back on it. Lifting my dress, her fingers found my pussy. I shuddered as she teasingly flicked my clit.
"Damn, you're dripping wet,"
she voiced out, slowly sliding two fingers into me. My mouth hung open as they went in and my legs spread wider. I was struggling to keep my eyes open. I could also feel my pussy getting wetter. Strangely, I was even more turned on, having her fingers sliding in and out of me. She suddenly pulled me closer until our breasts were pressing hard against each other. I had sensitive breasts, so having Tina's on me like that made me insanely turned on. She increased the speed of her fingers, and as she hit a G-spot, a loud moan escaped my lips.
"You love it, don't you? You love the feeling of my fingers in you, huh?"
"Yes, fuck, don't stop. I beg you, don't stop," I pleaded loudly, my eyes finally giving up as they closed. I threw my head back, bucking my hips in the air to meet up with her speed. Tina brought her lips to mine and pulled my lower lip in for a kiss. I didn't waste even a second responding. Her free hand found my breast, and she began fondling it, kneading it, pinching and tweaking my nipple. I was going crazy with pleasure. "Yeah, like that. Oh, fuck, yes." I moaned nonstop as I felt myself getting closer to orgasm. As if noticing, Tina increased her speed even more, and another scream unintentionally slipped out of my lips. "Fuck, Tina. Yes," I moaned, my body trembling uncontrollably.
The uninterrupted audio can be found on our discreet Patreon channel. We love that for thousands of our listeners, we're your go-to place to listen to top-quality erotica. However, we acknowledge that our full explicit audiobook library belongs behind an age-restricted paywall. So, we use Patreon in conjunction with familiar apps like Spotify and SoundCloud to house our premium content. And for a fraction of the cost of an audiobook subscription with the online giants, you'll get access to everything in our library. Cost about the same as a single ebook. Find the link in the description and join us today.
You're listening to All the Filthy Details.
Hot erotica for you to get your hands on.
Eagle Eye by Christian Pan. Meet Ivy,
teacher, mother, wife, dissatisfied. But through a series of sexual adventures between Princeton and Paris with individuals and groups, Ivy will learn more about herself and what she really wants. Eagle Eye, available in print and ebook. Out in the Night by Eleanor Nix. Becca's house is being watched at night by her suspicious neighbour. He's abrasive and captivating. Her life has been chaotic since he arrived with an orphaned kitten. Despite trying to keep her distance, she's plagued by mysterious warnings and seductive dreams. He refuses to let her escape. All links to these books can be found in the description.
You're listening to All the Filthy Details.
It's time for our Spotlight on Eroticists, where I spoke to Sean Geis, the talented author behind Abby's Pleasant Surprise, our latest star recommendation winning author. Hello, Sean.
Hi.
Last month, we awarded your book, Abby's Pleasant Surprise, our star recommendation for the episode. What was the inspiration behind this arousing tale?
There's an interesting story behind Abby's Pleasant Surprise. When I hit 1,000 followers on Medium, I came up with this idea to ask my readers, mostly my followers on Twitter, to give me a prompt. Give me an idea, a couple character names and a basic plot for a story that they'd like me to write. Lacey Cross, another author that I follow, she gave me this idea for a husband who decides to kind of spring a surprise on his wife when he's out of town and have his best friend come and fuck her. It's pretty basic as that. I'm not sure who came up with the idea for the breeding aspect of the story, whether it was my idea or if that's something that Lacey might have suggested, but I kind of went with it. And I really liked how this short story turned out. So what I did is I expanded it. It was 1,000 words to begin with, maybe a little less. So I decided to make it a whole story of Logan and Abby trying to start a family and how they weren't having much luck. And so Logan decided to call his friend in to lend a hand, or more likely his cock. But I know some of the criticism that I've had, that I've read about this story, is it kind of did become the switch from trying to get pregnant to getting a friend to help was kind of abrupt. And I can't argue with that. It was, but just the nature of being a short story, I didn't feel like I had enough time to really delve into character development. So I kind of left it as it was, and I'm pretty happy with it. Overall, I really like how the story turned out, and it's one of my favorites. It's also the first book that I've put out on Amazon where I commissioned a professional cover, and I'm really, really like how it came out too. So I still do mostly design my own covers. But this one, I really liked it.
How would you describe the style for our listeners discovering Sean Geis for the first time? What are some of the things you like to put consistently in your books?
If you buy a Sean Geis book, you're going to get a hot wife or a cuckolding story. Sometimes I explore other kinks on Medium in the short form, but mostly I do hot wife and cuckold because that's kind of what I like to read. That's what I feel most comfortable writing. Mostly I write from the husband's point of view because I'm a man and it's the thing I'm most comfortable with. I usually describe the emotions, the turmoil, the angst that's going on inside the husband's head. Sometimes there's going to be some teasing, some taunting, just kind of, you're in the man's head. Lately, I have been delving into the woman's point of view, and I really enjoy doing that. It lets me explore the situation, the sex, the feelings from a different point of view, and I'm enjoying doing that. One thing that you'll always have in a Sean Guy story is a happy ending. Even with the teasing and the taunting, and things can get rough. Mostly it's going to end up with the husband and wife, you know, happy to be together. They love each other. They just have a different way of showing it. That being said, I'm not saying that sometime in the future I won't write a story that does not have a happy ending. And I know that's going to piss a lot of people off. That's kind of why I kind of shy away from doing it, because I don't really want to piss readers off, but I also want to keep them on their toes. One thing you'll also find in my stories is that I often will throw in some sort of twist, not necessarily a surprise ending, but I do like to play with tropes a lot. So you might think something's going to go one way and it might go another. Then again, it might go the way you think it's going to go. It just all depends.
Is it true you've got several pets and one with the potential of talking?
Yes, as a matter of fact, we do have three pets. Two of them are actually in the room with me now. We've got two cats, brother and sister. Jon Snow is the brother, obviously. Arya is the sister, and she's aptly named because her claws are like little needles. We got them when one of my wife's coworkers, her cat had a litter and was trying to find homes for the last two, and so we had two other cats at the time. So there was a short period of time we actually had four in the household. That was fun. And yes, we also have an African gray parrot, Horus, like the Egyptian god, not like Horus Greeley. He can talk. He doesn't do a lot of talking because we really don't work with him enough. Parrots, especially African greys, need a lot of attention, and we just don't give him the attention that he needs. So, I mean, he squawks and he picks up a few things occasionally, but it's not like we have conversations with him. He does like to bang on the bottom of his cage, though, to grab our attention. So that's not fun. Our cats love to snuggle, and often one of them will interrupt me when I'm doing my writing. So if you're ever reading one of my books, just know that I probably am writing it with one of my little beasts in my lap.
As an erotica writer, we know that you, like many others, use Medium. What do you enjoy about using this platform? And what frustrations do you encounter while using it?
I've been writing for Medium now for about 2 years, and it's really gone through a lot of changes. Before I started writing for Medium, I just wrote, longer. I wrote books. And the one thing that I found most difficult was, you know, I'm alone at my desk writing, and there would be months that I'd just be writing and I would get no feedback. I would wonder, is this story going in a good direction? Is this good? Is it bad? And that was difficult for me, because I do, what I like most about Medium is the almost instant feedback that I can get. I can write a chapter and put it out, and like within a day, I'm getting feedback. I'm getting, people are liking it. People are clapping for it. And I'm getting comments on it. And that just doesn't happen with books. For books, a year can go between publications, and lucky if you're getting any reviews. So I do like Medium for that instant gratification, I guess. Medium also helped me get back into writing. I had written my last book, right before the pandemic. And there was like 2 years that I just wasn't writing at all. I just could not get myself motivated to do it. Then I found Medium and I started playing around with it. First off, I just started releasing stories that I'd already written, like chapters of books and things like that, just to kind of build a following. And then once I had hit a certain level, I could then start, getting paid for my stories. And that's when I started writing new content. And it's really helped me because I write chapters at a time. And then when I get finished with a story, I can package it up and then sell it on Amazon in a book format to readers who aren't on Medium. So it's kind of the best of both worlds there. One thing that I do find frustrating with Medium is the fact that they changed how they pay authors, and they changed the formula, and now it's no longer how long people read. It's more of they want engagement. They want claps and responses and highlighting. But on the other hand, they don't want authors to tell people that they should clap or respond or highlight. It's frustrating. I know a lot of the authors that I've talked with have seen a big drop off in their income from Medium. It was like I would say almost like 50% cut in pay for like a story. So now instead of writing and posting a 5,000 or 7,000 word story, most writers, and myself included, will cut it up into, like 1,000 word chunks. So that, kind of serializing things, which, it works, but it would be nice if we could just, get paid our worth. I've also noticed that when they change the format, some writers stop submitting at all to the site, and they just sell their writings on Amazon because, this is mostly a hobby for me, but I know a lot of writers who this is their income. They make a living off of it, and, taking a hit like that really hurts. So I hope that that things will change, but I don't have a good outlook on that.
In your book, Abby's Pleasant Surprise, some of the criticisms we had was the book lacked conflict in such a challenging scenario. Was this deliberate to focus on the positive aspects?
The lack of real conflict in Abby's Pleasant Surprise, it comes out of how the story was created. The first section that I wrote was the scene where the husband calls, or where was the scene where Logan calls Abby and kind of leads her into being receptive to his best friend fucking her. And so since that's what I wrote and everything kind of came to a satisfying conclusion in that story. When I went to expand it, I really didn't, I mean, there was, I didn't want there to be real conflict. I mean, there was a little taunting. Abby does hang up the phone at the end of the first encounter so that she can kind of enjoy her new lover at her own leisure. So there's that little bit of tension. What I really wanted to do was to stress how much fun they were having, how much fun Abby was having, how she enjoyed sex, how she enjoyed giving herself over to a new lover. And that, to me, was what I wanted to get across to the reader, was just how much fun these three people were having. And I think that came across. The book starts with sex. Logan and Abby are having sex on the floor of their living room. And that's when they realize that, you know, if we had a family, we wouldn't be able to do this. And then it's like, well, let's start and see where it goes. And that's kind of how the story starts. Yeah, the conflict was not... I do have stories that have pretty tense conflict in them between the husband and the wife. This was not one of those stories.
You've crafted numerous titles to captivate our eager readers who might be encountering you for the first time. Which three books from your assortment would you suggest, and why?
It's hard to just come up with three books that I think that I would recommend to people. I think if you really want to get a real sample of my writing, I would go with The Things We Do for Lust. This was my first story. It ended up being a trilogy. It has everything in it. It's got a cheating wife. It's got polyamory. It's got a dominant alpha. There's cuckolding. It becomes a hot wife story. It's really the husband's journey from watching his wife cheat on him to accepting what has happened and even finding himself aroused by it. And the husband has some fun on his own. It's a really good story, and I had a lot of fun writing it. It's a trilogy. The Things We Do for Lust, Going Down to Get Up, and Seducing Robin. That's probably the quintessential Sean Geist story. Another one I would recommend is Cuckold's Gift. This is a shorter story. It's kind of more to the point. I just loved everything about the story. I loved writing it. And it is still one of the few stories that I've written that arouses me when I read it. So if you really want to kind of a peek inside my mind and see what I get excited about, Cuckold's Gift would be what I would recommend. And then finally, probably I would recommend What Flirting Leads To. This is another one of my early stories, but I would recommend it because I got inspiration for it from kind of a few events in my past life. So that kind of, I liked that. And also there is a head fake in the story. You think it's going one way and it goes another. So those are the three stories that I would recommend as a sampling of my writing as Sean Geist.
We've noticed that reading erotica appears to be a part of your process. What genres excite you the most? And who are some of your favorite erotica creators?
I think I've already mentioned this, but obviously, I mean, I love reading hot wife and cuckold stories. It's that's my kink. Some authors that I always turn to and would wholeheartedly recommend. I think Kenny Wright was the first hot wife erotica author that I stumbled across. I read a few of his stories, but it was his Just Watch Me that that made me fall in love with his writing. It is just an excellently written hot wife story, and one that I've read multiple times, usually when I'm taking my few times I've gone to Hawaii, just because that's where it takes place, and it kind of it's very enjoyable. Max Sebastian, again, he does a really good slow burn hot wife stories. His Madeline trilogy, I think, is a really slow burn, but it is definitely worth reading to the end. It is excellent. And I also like reading Kirsten McCurran. Some of her more recent stuff is really good. Sam Surrenders to the Neighbors is just, I cannot recommend that enough. I've read it multiple times. I highly recommend it if you like Hot Wife, but maybe a little bit rougher, you'll enjoy this. Lacey Cross, she's just, I don't read everything she's written, but she's given me so much good advice on the business side of writing that I cannot ever thank her enough. And she's, again, given me some great ideas for some great stories. Abby's Pleasant Surprise being one. And when I'm in the mood for just some filthy cuckold stories, I know Paul Garland has a series that that really hits the spot for me.
Can you read us a short preview from one of your works?
A reading from Cuckold's Gift by Sean Geist. It was at this moment of heightened arousal that she revealed the true object of her game. Glenn, lover, I have a couple confessions to make. I waited, my heart poised to explode. What could she possibly have to say in this moment? I love you, and I need you to trust me. Forever. The word came so easily. Trisha placed her mouth right next to my ear and lowered her voice. We're not using condoms tonight. Oh, that excites you. My cock had twitched. I couldn't say why it excited me, but my body's response proved it did. Nick's going to fill me up, Glenn. I'm going to feel him bare inside me. My wife's words were like a scalpel slicing me, baring my true feelings. It was a sweet pain that couldn't be denied. Why? I didn't care why, but felt I had to ask. I want you the same way, and it's only fair. I glanced back at the door to the other room. It was empty. As long as you're okay with it. My mind was foggy with desire. I knew I wasn't thinking straight. I'd let my wife do anything she wanted, as long as it included me. Actually, even if it didn't. Trisha's sexual independence didn't dampen my desire in the least. In fact, it sent it higher. Oh, I am. And another thing. I stopped taking the pill a week ago. My heart stopped. I couldn't breathe. Trisha pushed herself up so she could look me in the eyes. I was stunned. She wasn't protected. And she still wanted Nick to come inside her? I want you both to fill me up. This had become a truly wicked game.
How can we follow you on social media?
I don't have a real big social media presence. You can read most of my stuff on Medium. I'm Sean Geist. And you can follow me on Twitter at Sean Geist. I do not call it X. I do answer the few bits of fan mail I get. You can reach me at SeanGeist@Outlook.com.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
You're listening to All the Filthy Details.
ladies and gentlemen, it's about that time where I hand you over to Filth, the erotic book review. Enjoy.
Hello, erotic enthusiasts. Welcome to Filth, the Erotic Book Review, with your host, Davina. We dive deep into three tantalizing author-submitted manuscripts on every episode, singling out one for our coveted star recommendation. After a month of anticipation, these authors are finally getting their moment. Let's kick things off with our first seductive selection. This is Jill and the Caveman by Morning Wood.
More concerning matters occupy his not-so-bright mind. The caveman gawks at her broad chest as the buttons of her uniform strain and pop off one by one until her ample breasts bounce free. Thank goodness her black bra held. The redhead's legs close instinctively as the sensation of something pressing against her breasts finally registers in her mind. As she slowly shifts her gaze from the man's face to his crotch, his bulge takes shape beneath the flimsy fur cloth. It looks huge, jerking occasionally as the man tightens his grip around the security guard's wrists, while thrusting with his hips into her soft and welcoming tits.
Yeah, this has to be a kinky fantasy.
She whimpers, biting her lower lip, as the man's ritualistic and primal motions sty a long-forgotten craving within her.
Fuck.
Ooh.
His feral and animalistic moans echo through the imitation cave, arousing the security guard as well.
Duh, duh, duh.
Everything feels unbearably hot as their bodies press against each other. The man's hard cock now fully brushing the redhead's skin as it escapes the confinements of the feather-light cloth. It looks swollen and needy, and that's just what urges Jill to give in. Fuck it. If this is really a fantasy, I might as well enjoy it. The man practically jumps when the woman's tongue grazes the tip of his throbbing manhood. She sends shivers through him with each kitten lick, creating friction with his erection and giving it a sloppy smooch, tempting him to explore a new way to get off. He moves closer, watching intently as she opens her mouth and greedily swallows the first inch of his throbbing cock. The rest of his shaft slides between her scorching hot and sweat-slick breasts, gliding past the already ripped clothing. Her eyes dart between the man's mesmerized face and the mammoth length of his dick, tasting unlike any other guy she's sampled. It's a bit bitter, but nothing she can't handle. In fact, as she hungrily sucks on the caveman's cock, she wonders if his cum will taste different too. There's only one way to find out.
A condom.
He growls, melting into the motion and sensation of the redhead's extraordinary blowjob skills. Fauf venif if you've come klofer. She speaks with her mouth full, not sure if the man understands her proposition. Le trailihe dis. She extends her tongue, flicking it as the caveman uses it to feel more of that sweet friction on his shaft, occasionally retrieving it to drive him mad and make him desperate for more. After all, you catch more flies with honey than with vinegar. He catches on, most likely because he'd be an idiot not to try and chase that amazing sensation. He pushes closer, his huge erection filling Jill's mouth. It feels heavenly as she wraps her lips around it and begins to suck the every-living soul out of him if he even has one. The caveman grunts, trying to hiss for more pressure around his dick. His hand grabs onto the redhead's left breast and releases it from her tight, bothersome bra. He lets out a pleasured cry as he feels its curves against his fingers. It feels oddly exhilarating having just one of her breasts exposed from her bra, and the rough treatment only heightens the sensation. Trying something new like this is incredibly stimulating. The man keeps groping at her chest as he grows more brazen, shoving his entire length down the security guard's throat, almost choking her while she lets him use her mouth like a well-deserved onahole.
He has no desire to show any mercy as he increases the speed of his thrusts. The instinctive drive to pursue the exquisite release outweighs the redhead's frantic squirming and sobs. Each time he retrieves his dick, her tongue runs across the tip of his cock, lapping up as much of his thick pre-cum as she can, leaving his shaft exposed in the cool night air. It feels too much now, as he realizes he needs more of the previous friction too, possibly experiencing greed and lust for the first time in his simple and primitive life. He tears Jill's bra apart out of frustration, finally letting go of her wrist to grab both of her tits and use them as his hard cock's personal warm pillows. The security guard's choked sobs subside as her freed hands locate the man's meaty thighs, gripping onto them like her life depended on it as the caveman thrusts his member to the back of her throat. With a loud, throaty growl.
When Jill agrees to take on the night shift at the Natural History Museum, little did she know she would come face to face with a living, breathing caveman. As the powerful and primal man stands before her, a fierce desire sparks between them. Their bodies entwine in a tumultuous storm of forbidden longing, leaving Jill questioning whether he is a reality or a fantasy come to life. Nevertheless, Jill is determined to unveil the secrets hidden beneath his loincloth and quench the insatiable desires that have long smoldered within her. This is One Is Never Enough by Nicole Keeley.
Down until the tip of his cock was in my throat. I wasn't sure what he would be like. He had been so nice and a perfect gentleman when he wasn't looking at my tits. I was excited to be forced to deep throat him. He let go and my head bobbed up and down until I was distracted by Austin. The bulge in his black jeans was impossible to miss. Even out of the corner of my eye, I couldn't not see it. I turned slightly to face him and repeated the process of opening up his jeans. His mostly hard cock practically sprung out at me. I took him in one hand and his friend in the other. I stroked them both. Both of them were above average thick and on the long side. So many dirty thoughts ran through my head as I lowered my mouth to Austin's cock. My lips raced up and down his shaft. My head bobbed up and down. I didn't hold anything back. The slut in me was out to play. Derek moved closer and I turned my head to take his cock. I worked his cock like the slut I was. There was no hiding anything. There was no need to be ashamed. I enjoyed giving them oral pleasure. I loved being right in between two cocks. Based on their breathing, they enjoyed the work I was doing. My mouth went back and forth between each cock. Fully hard Derek was definitely larger than Austin. I craved to see what it would feel like within me. At some point, Derek sat down on the couch while I was sucking Austin. When it was time for his turn, I turned around and moved between his legs. You could hear the noises of my mouth, the saliva that had become the lubricant on my lips. It was so loud. While Derek was making me deep throat him again, Austin came up behind me. Right behind me. A moment or two later, while my body moved up and down with the bobbing of my head, my ass rubbed against Derek's erection. He pushed up my skirt around the waist and pulled my thong just far enough to the side. He pushed his cock into my wetness, then grabbed a hold of my hips. His thrusts were hard right away. It made it difficult to keep my mouth on Derek, but it didn't stop me. It didn't even slow me down. I felt so fulfilled with one hard cock deep inside of my mouth and another pounding my cunt. I felt like this is what I was made for. I was holes to be used. I was curves to be admired and caressed. I was a slut. When I didn't have a cock in my mouth, I was almost screaming. When I did have his dick between my lips, I was still moaning. It felt so good. It felt so fucking right. After a few minutes, or maybe an hour or two, time wasn't anything real at that point, the guys switched. Austin sat down, and I moved over to him. I took him in my mouth as Derek moved into position behind me. Derek penetrated me, and I had to pause my oral work. I gasped. He was noticeably larger. It was almost too much cock. He filled me and stretched me open. Derek fucked me just as hard, and he also spanked my ass so hard that it was probably red. It stung, and I loved the way the pleasure mixed with the pain. They took turns fucking me on the couch. I was on my back with my legs pushed back and spread wide open for them. They pounded my pussy over and over. I wish that I could be in that position forever. I was breathing hard. It was a real workout. I was sweating. My hair was a mess, and my clothes as well. I moaned or screamed with each hard, deep thrust that was delivered to me.
"I'm fucking close,"
Derek warned.
"Pull out and come on her face,"
Austin said.
"She loves that."
I was too in another world to answer with words. I just smiled.
"Get on your knees again, you slut."
"Yes, baby," I managed to say. Derek pulled out of me and I felt empty, but I craved his cum. I wanted it all over my face. I got back onto my knees on the floor. Derek stood in front of me. I sucked his slick cock. He fucked my mouth. Then he pulled back. He stroked his cock. I held my face in place for him. He aimed his cock at my mouth. I held it open, but when he exploded, the cum launched out and landed in my hair. It splurted out onto my forehead and cheeks. I closed my eyes so that the cum wouldn't end up there. It was a lot of hot, gooey cum. It was a lot of cum from my chin to the top of my head. I was a cum slut. I was their cum slut for the night. Right next to me, Austin was stroking his cock. I turned towards him. I held my face for him too. He groaned and his cock exploded. He added more cum to my hair. He put his cum onto my cheeks, then all over my lips. It was so much cum and it dripped off of my chin and onto my cleavage and bra. I gently stroked their still mostly hard cocks. They were both looking down at me. I don't remember what was said, but I do remember feeling so sad.
Indulge in 7 sizzling stories for your pleasure. These tales of threesomes and gangbangs are inspired by real-life escapades, but with names and locations altered to keep the naughty anonymous. Experience the thrill of barely 18-year-olds exploring a threesome on a scorching summer night with a newfound guy. A college spring break adventure wouldn't be complete without a thrilling gangbang. Sometimes one facial just won't cut it. And that's just the beginning of the naughty fun. This is VIP Tango by Tiny Sparks.
Thank you so much. I hugged her, whispering, "Please ensure I'm downstairs in time tomorrow morning."
"I'll call the room and your mobile an hour before,"
she promised and let me go.
"Your car is out front,"
she said to Ben.
"Shall we?"
He held out his arm and off we went. The silence in the car was deafening. He was checking his phone the entire time. I hadn't brought mine. A simple small purse was all I had with me. He dug it out of another garment bag. And I was glad for something to put the lipstick and my ID in. We gave our jackets to the coat attendant. While we waited in line to get our table number, I trembled with nerves, seeing all the bling and celebrities around me. My sister's never going to believe me, but I insisted on leaving my phone in the room to take away the temptation of taking pictures of everyone and making a fool of myself.
"Don't worry, I've got you,"
Ben whispered, wrapping an arm around my waist. A relieved sigh escaped my lips, and he chuckled.
"They're all just people like you and I."
He squeezed my side. "Maybe like you, but certainly not like me," I whispered back. But his warm hand alleviated my stress to a manageable level. The trembling stopped, and I smiled at him. He ushered me to our table. I was glad that it was full already and no sight of Natalie. I didn't recognize anyone, which relaxed my shoulders. They had crawled up to my ears. Ben held my chair for me. When he took his seat, he squeezed my knee before introducing the people to me, because he knew everyone. The gentleman next to me talked constantly about his dogs that were with the babysitter now. I knew more about pugs by the time the first course was served than I ever wanted to hear. He'd blabbed right through the introduction and explanation about the reason for the gala. Thankfully, his wife changed seats with him, commenting on my dress and showing an interest in me and the event. We listened to the first celebrity's speech between the two courses. I tried not to eat too much because I didn't want to be full during the tango, but the food was too good. The first course was one, melt in your mouth, coquille dressed with a creamy white sauce and two tiny green asparagus on top. The second was a buttery roasted lobster tail with a frothy something on the side and cherry tomatoes. Thankfully, we were up next because the main course written on the elegant menu would be grill-baked salmon or slow-cooked prime beef. I assumed Ben's sister had given a preference for what she wanted, but I would eat both, so either way, it didn't matter.
And now, the live event of the evening, the tango performed by Benedict Dordson and his partner Saskia.
My name roared throughout the room. Applause and Ben's hand urged me to stand.
Smile,
he mumbled through his teeth.
You look like a lamb brought to slaughter.
I gaped at him, and his twinkling eyes stretched my mouth into a grin.
Don't look at them.
He turned my face to his. My trembling stopped, and I closed my eyes with a deep sigh. Our foreheads touched, and his hand splayed on my upper back calmed me. The music started and dragged me into the sensual tango. My skin tingled everywhere he touched. His fingers caressed my ankle to my knee, making me shiver. When he didn't let go as the choreography required, my eyes widened. His hand slipped farther to my thigh, and his gaze captured mine, intensely staring into my soul. I followed his lead that had nothing to do with the original steps anymore. His guidance was subtle, but easy to follow. A tap on my waist, a pull on my shoulder blade, and a specific way of grabbing my hand led me into twists and turns and leg swivels I'd never done before. His approval heated my cheeks, but the trust I had in his capable hands was clear as day when he dipped me low and brushed the floor with the tips of my fingers. He caressed the front of my body with his left hand, all the while pushing me up against him slowly. We stared at each other and would have kissed if the song hadn't required one last move. He twirled me out and pulled me back, catching me while I put my arms and legs around him. My nipples pushed against the dress but were hidden from our audience, bursting into applause as the last notes of the music drifted away. His cock brushed my aching core and I panicked. How were we going to face the crowd?
A quick bow and run to the vestibule, please,
he begged. I curtsied, and thankfully the commentator was quick to invite the next guest to speak. Running to the vestibule wasn't as easy as it sounded. People kept stopping me to congratulate me on a beautiful performance. It took me 10 minutes to cross the ballroom, which wasn't that big. I squeaked when someone grabbed me from behind.
Shh!
Ben's voice warned me. His cock pressed into my back when he pulled me closer. We inched toward the coat room where I thought we'd get our coats to go to the hotel. Instead, he kept moving with his arms wrapped around me to the back of the room. There he twisted me and claimed my mouth. I hummed and grasped his shoulders. My pussy spasmed, feeling empty. I want you inside me, I moaned, and he kissed my neck.
I'm sorry, I don't have a condom on me,
he whispered, pushing my skirt to the side. He slipped my panties down my legs, putting them in his pocket. I couldn't see his face, the skirt covering him. Oh. I grabbed his head through the fabric when his mouth nipped my labia. His fingers opened my pussy, and I bit my lip to keep from shouting out when he pushed one inside at the same time as his tongue circled my clit. A little faster, I huskily begged. He did just that, and all the foreplay during the tango called my orgasm to the front when he suckled on my clit and added another finger inside. Fuck! I gasped, riding out my orgasm on his face. His shit-eating grin when he rose had me smirking. I pushed him against the wall this time and sank to the floor. I made quick work of his belt and trousers. Pulling everything, including his boxers, to his ankles, I watched his cock bob in front of me. Our gazes connected as I grasped his cock and lapped the bead of cum from the head.
Fuck, that's hot,
he said. I kept eye contact while I slowly enveloped his cock with my mouth. Managing to keep my gag reflex under control, I bobbed up and down.
I'm sorry.
He moaned at the moment his cum spurted down my throat. I kept my lips around the tip.
Saskia, the receptionist on duty at Hotel X, finds herself in an unexpected situation when a VIP guest, a renowned dancer set to perform his famous tango, faces a partner crisis, his last hope, convincing Saskia to step in or resort to begging his ex. Embraced like royalty, Saskia is swept into the glamorous world of the gala. As the music starts and the sensual dance unfolds, she throws herself into the performance with the charming, slightly older dancer. Perhaps their connection will extend beyond the dance floor. We asked our Star Recommendation-winning guest, Sean Geist, to help us review these books. Here are some of his thoughts. Before you hear them, I need to inform you that Tiny Sparks sent us a manuscript with the working title VIP Cowboy. However, the book we actually read was, in fact, VIP Tango.
My review of Jill and the Caveman. I want to start by just saying that I don't normally read a lot of supernatural erotica, although I have written a few pieces. I do say I liked the idea, a woman in a mundane job, taken by a man who may or may not be real. Maybe it's a fantasy, maybe it's in her head, or maybe there really is a caveman living in the Natural History Museum. I do like the fantasy aspect of it. And I liked how the author got to the action pretty quickly. There wasn't a lot of extraneous buildup to what was going on. I think the story could use a good edit. Some odd word choices. One example that I can recall is using the word retrieve instead of withdraw when talking about pulling out. At least I think that's what the author was trying to get across. Sometimes I just couldn't tell what was going on. I also think that instead of trying to spell out the caveman's words, I think just using grunts and growls would have worked a lot better than just trying, you know, smashing the keyboard. Confusing action occasionally lost me as to what was going on. But like I said, it was an interesting concept, but poorly executed. My review of One Is Never Enough. This is basically an anthology of seven stories with multiple partners, mostly just one woman with multiple men. It pretty much boils down to audio porn. There's no real plots in any of the stories. And sometimes it does get kind of repetitive. One thing I would say is that this is good if you're interested in reading something short to get yourself off. I mean, it is very good at that. There are some good, sex scenes, and sometimes with gangbang stories that I read, I have a hard time telling who is, you know, fucking what hole. And I think this author does a good job of differentiating between the men. So that's something in there in the good column. But it wasn't really something I'm interested in. VIP Cowboy is probably the best of the three stories that I read. It's pretty much a romantic erotica story. It's got a lot of plot, the delightful characters. I kind of like the hotel clerk. She's a sensible woman. The male character is intriguing. He's confident. There's just a lot to like about this couple. So when they get together, you're rooting for them. Reading it, It, and this is a compliment, it reads like a Hallmark romance movie playing on the page. The descriptions are very vivid, and it's easy to visualize what's going on. It is like watching a movie, and I would congratulate the author on doing that. The sex serves the story. It's not gratuitous, and it's pretty erotic. It's arousing, and it kind of fits in with everything that's happening. This is kind of like a Cinderella story. The protagonist is an average woman who's swept up in a world of celebrity and glamour. She works as a clerk of hotel. She gets a once-in-a-lifetime chance to attend a fancy party with a celebrity dancer. I cared about these characters, and I really cared about what happened to them. So overall, I think this was a very fun and enjoyable read.
We asked our in-house top reviewer and host of Shh, Extra Filth, the Ms. Inks, to review these books. Here are some of her thoughts.
Jill and the Caveman. Jill and the Caveman is a captivating tale that blends humour and steamy encounters flawlessly. The story's unique premise and well-written narrative draw readers in, with spicy details adding an extra layer of intrigue. The interactions between the characters, especially their non-verbal attempts at communication, are endearing and keep the reader engaged. While the sex scenes are well executed and justified by the novel premise, more focus on descriptions during these moments could enhance the overall experience. Overall, this story's novelty and character dynamics make it a delightful short read for those seeking something fresh and entertaining. One is Never Enough. One is Never Enough delivers a captivating read filled with raunchy and unapologetic sex scenes. I'm heavily biased here, but this was by far my favourite collection of erotic stories that I've received. I understand that some people will be put off by the lack of story and the fairly generic situations, but I think this author did a lot of the fundamentals well, and it pays off. The collection shines in its focus on the female perspective and feelings, making the encounters truly immersive. While minor errors and repetitive single female threesome situations are slight detractors, the overall experience is pleasurable and easy to follow. Dive into this collection for a steamy and satisfying read. VIP Tango. VIP Tango is a unique and captivating take on erotic storytelling. The author skillfully weaves sensuality with well-rounded characters and an engaging plot. Character development shines, enhancing the emotional connection with readers and intensifying intimate scenes. While the plot features quirky elements, the writing is seamless, drawing readers into a vibrant world. VIP Tango delivers passionate, intimate scenes, though some moments may feel rushed. Dialogue plays a crucial role in building chemistry between characters, adding depth to their relationship. With its nuanced storytelling and tantalizing sensuality, VIP Tango is a compelling read for those seeking a sophisticated exploration of desire.
Scores time. Jill and the Caveman is a respectable 3.8 out of 5. Morningwood strikes me as an author who has all the ingredients for the perfect recipe but hasn't quite mastered the timings and quantities yet. In this book, we find a fantastic foundation for the story, only to be followed by some clunky, banded together sex scenes that carry the book almost to its conclusion. Were the sex scenes good? Yes, but there's still plenty of room for improvement by adding more sensory details. One is Never Enough is an impressive 3.9 out of 5. Internally, we had numerous passionate discussions about why we should endorse this book. Let's be real, it's an easy recommendation. It delivers the most thrilling and seductive scenes, making it a truly enjoyable and daring read for us. But what's the catch, you may ask? Well, the book is overflowing with errors, to the point where it's just not funny anymore. While some erotica fans might not mind these slip-ups, we do care. Especially when we're looking for the crème de la crème of writers. Nicole teaming up with a talented proofreader, B. be it a seasoned pro or a newcomer, could truly be a match made in heaven. VIP Tango is a 4.1 out of 5. Tiny Sparks excels once again with a gripping read that not only weaves a captivating story, but also serves up the elite level eroticism our readers crave. The book takes its time, intricately developing characters and advancing the plot, before granting us the intimacy we yearn for. While a few minor plot holes exist, like the impromptu couple neglecting basic choreography or practice despite the implied anxieties, these do little to diminish the overall allure of the book, the sizzling chemistry between characters, and the high quality of the steamy scenes. So, to be clear, Tiny Spark wins our star recommendation for her book, VIP Tango. It's a high quality read worth picking up from your favourite online bookstore. The other books are also well worth reading, especially One Is Never Enough, which could have won this endorsement had they gone the extra mile with quality control. Thank you to all the authors who have submitted books. Be sure to follow the links in the description to get your own copies.
You're listening to All the Filthy Details.
Thank you again for everyone who has submitted their books for review. Should you want your title to be reviewed on our podcast, follow us on X, the app formerly known as Twitter, and look out for the submission tweet. It's time for this episode's Pulse Session with Christian Pan, who is interviewing Rachel Kramer Busel.
Welcome to the next edition of the Pulse Sessions. I am delighted and honored to be here with Rachel Kramer Busel. Rachel, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
You have an incredible career that spans 25 years from writing essays, writing fiction, being an editor, teacher, and spearheading a number of important anthologies within the world of erotica. I'm curious, within that span of time, what have you noticed as some of the major changes in terms of the business of writing erotica today?
I think that erotica writing is more accessible both to authors and to readers in many ways now. In some ways, there are fewer books on bookstore shelves, like walking into a mainstream bookstore. I used to go to Borders and Barnes & Noble and feel like I'm forgetting one that is no longer around, but like mainstream bookstores, and there would be an erotica section. I'm not saying it was huge, but that was where I discovered a lot of erotica, the first ones that I read, and that is rarer to see now. But I do think there's just a wealth of subgenres and varieties available to readers. And then for authors, there's, you know, apps, there's ebooks, there's online publications, and people can start their own. Like, there's thriving things on Medium and other places that, so I think that if you all of a sudden are discovering erotica and thinking, oh, I want to try this, there are more ways in and more ways to find out about who's publishing what or how can I do this on my own than there were 25 years ago. I do think that sadly, like the print book market, there are fewer books in print. And I think if you are not necessarily finding your books online or through technological means, you know, browsing bookstores, whether indie or, you know, big box stores, it is harder to find. There's not many stores with an erotica section. And trust me, like, I've been to dozens of bookstores all over the country and they're hard to find. I mean, Some have them, but even when they do, it's kind of small. And like, my dream bookstore would have like every genre, but including erotica, and not as just some tiny section, just as, you know, as maybe not as many as romance, but like a significant amount, because there's a lot of people writing great stuff. So I think there's sort of a dual thing happening right now. But if you're writing, and I think the positive for authors, though, is that self-publishing and online spaces, like, you don't have to wait a year to submit something and see it published. Yeah. Like, you can write it and it's up tomorrow on Medium or on Amazon or wherever you're publishing. And I think that's great and gives people chances to experiment and try things out. And, you know, I as a reader and as someone who cares about the genre, I think that's a good thing. And I also think it's a good thing for, you know, people who are coming into it as just curious about what's out there.
That's so great. Thank you for that. And I'm glad that you mentioned the genre and your passion for it. You've read so many stories as a editor and as spearheading these anthologies over the years. I'm curious, have you noticed any changes in the writing itself in the last 25 years in erotica?
I've thought about this a lot, and I don't know if main things that people write about have changed that much. I think there's more, like, proportion-wise, I probably see more BDSM and more maybe edgier BDSM as a, like, out of 100 stories, I might get maybe, I'm just throwing this out there. I have not, like, done some meticulous charting and math on this, but, like, you know, 75% kinkier or kinky-esque stories. And whereas before, or earlier on, when I was starting out, I think maybe it was, there were fewer, but I think a lot has stayed the same. And I don't mean that to sound like a negative thing, but I think there are just perennial themes that people like to write about. I mean, a lot of them are about power play. A lot of them are about exhibitionism or doing taboo things or, you know, fulfilling fantasies or threesomes. And then sometimes there are random themes that pop up in my submissions inboxes where it's not something I necessarily asked for or was looking for, but people are curious about, like mermaids. I published a few stories on that. And so, like, sometimes things pop up, and sometimes I think as an editor, because I get so many submissions and can only take so many, like, the ones I retain in my head are usually the ones that I wind up publishing. But I do want to say to authors out there, and this goes whether you're writing erotica or fiction or nonfiction or anything, like, don't feel like if your work gets rejected that you should just put it away and never send it out again, because I've written things that I had to submit multiple times to many places before them getting published. And I've rejected stories that I've later seen published. And there's just so many aspects to being an editor that go into it. Like, the work I've done as an editor, it's not necessarily a reflection on your writing itself. And I truly believe that whatever you're writing, there's someone out there who will want to read it. And that goes back to what I was saying about why I think it's great that there's so many more spaces to publish your work.
Yes, thank you for that. Your latest project is kind of a maybe a surprise for some people that know you primarily as an editor, that this is a collection of only your short stories, Lap Dance Lust. Tell us about the origin of this project. What made you want to put yourself and your own writing into the spotlight, so to speak?
I think because I started out as an erotica author before I was editing, and because it's been so long, 25 years, which still feels weird to say, because part of me in my head is still like that person writing at age 22, 23 when I was starting out. But I had a pretty big body of work, dozens of stories, and a lot of them that I'm really, you know, still proud of. You know, I'm in some ways I'm proud of them all, but sometimes you read your old work and you're like, okay, like I would do that differently now. So, and also I've published and written a range of stories, different sexual orientations. I'm bisexual, so that shows up in a lot of my stories, but they're really, I was looking through my old stories trying to pick out which ones I wanted to include in the book. And I really tried to pick ones that were different from each other, that were some of my favorites, that were some readers had liked, and this would offer a good introduction to people who hadn't read that part of my work or had only read one or two. And Lap Dance Lust is the name of one of the very first stories I wrote, maybe the second or third. And I like the ring of it, and I really like that story, and it's one of my favorites, so I chose it as a title.
Well, it's a fantastic collection. I just started it this week, and I hope other people will pick up a copy either in print or in digital copies?
There will be an audiobook down the road.
Oh, great. Thank you for letting us know that. Rachel, thank you so much for your time. Rachel Kramer Bussell, check out her work. It's all in the show notes.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was awesome. Be sure to check out the show notes for those all important links.
You're listening to All the Filthy Details.
You can record and submit your own content to this podcast also. Contact us on X for more details. Let's close with a clip from Enchantress by Derek Andre, a dark fantasy erotica revolving around modern witchcraft.
This is a partial story for All the Filthy Details. Head on over to the Patreon for the full audio. Links are in the description.
Janet Wilder asks, in all of your journeys, you've been known as a person who has helped people. Did you ever stumble on someone you were convinced was a lost cause? Well, many a time. I think what I've tried to do is make a difference, even if I can't fully change someone's life. This brings me back to when I initially went south of the border and when I discovered a lost soul named Jody. I first met Jody when I moved to Bath in the English county of Somerset. She caught my eye immediately with her radiant smile and the way her bright blue eyes seemed to light up with every word she spoke. Jody had an aura of positivity around her, a warmth that drew people in effortlessly. With her dirty blonde hair cascading down her back in loose waves and her sun-kissed skin glowing, she exuded a natural beauty that needed no embellishment. What struck me the most was her refusal to wear makeup. She embraced her flaws and imperfections with a confidence that was truly inspiring. Jody believed in living life authentically, finding joy in the simple things and spreading kindness wherever she went. From that moment on, I knew she was someone special. These aspects of Jody's personality made her a perfect candidate for the mysteries of witchcraft, her vibrant spirit yearning for the secrets of the universe. However, before our encounter, she fell under the spell of a local legend known only as Fagash. This mysterious nomad, shrouded in myth and rumour, possessed an uncanny ability to elude the grasp of reality. People would offer him gifts, only to watch in astonishment as he refused them, yet he always seemed to possess abundant resources. He sauntered into bars, producing a whole pint of beer, with a cigarette dangling from his lips, defying the laws of logic. Before I go on, I must mention, to those unfamiliar with UK slang, fag is another name for a cigarette, and shouldn't be mistaken for a homosexual slur in this context. Enthralled by the allure of his supposed magic, Jody threw herself into his world, hoping to unlock the secrets of his mystique. But instead
of
enlightenment, she
found herself... All the Filthy Details.
Chilling proposition, sacrificing his pride as he lay before her, urging her to degrade him by defiling his face with her urine. The shocking demand sent shivers down her spine, challenging her convictions and forcing her to confront the depth of his devotion to his twisted beliefs. I remember Jody vividly recounting the intense pivotal moment when she shivered in disbelief, squatting over his eagerly waiting mouth, hesitantly releasing a warm golden stream of urine. Her eyes squeezed shut in agony, only to open to a scene of shame and regret. He appeared humbled and dazed, his scruffy beard adorned with beads of urine. Helping him up as he coughed and spluttered, she feared she had almost drowned him. Embracing him tightly, she vowed never to doubt him again. When it came to re-educating Jody, I faced a daunting task. Struggling to find common ground as she delved deeper into this fake witchcraft, I made numerous attempts to shake her faith in Fagash's teachings. These teachings had led her down a dangerous path where she found herself engaging in risky behaviour, from sucking the erections of random men in secluded dogging spots to potentially dabbling in the drug trade. Jody remained blind to the manipulation at play, as Fagash seemed to be profiting from her every move, with the consequences of her unwavering belief unfolding in bizarre and mysterious ways. One day, after sharing several spells for protection, passion and prosperity with Jody, I thought I had reached her. However, I discovered she was still enamoured with his false teachings. When she revealed her intention to use the magic I had taught her to seduce him and drain his essence, I realised she was beyond saving. I understood the next steps and what I had to do, follow her and tackle Fagash instead. True to her promise, I surreptitiously trailed her to the woods, where I witnessed her sucking Fagash's erection. Mesmerized, I watched as she passionately pleasured him, her actions both intense and deliberate. Fagash's moans filled the air as she skillfully brought him to the edge of ecstasy.
We have a wealth of things to come next month on the podcast and our Patreon. Join us for free or get a monthly all-access pass for less than the price of a big bag of candy. On Patreon, you can enjoy wonderful audiobooks like The Erotic Diary of Emily, Strapped, and Enchantress.
You're listening to All the Filthy Details.
Thanks again for listening. Check out our show notes for freebies and links to some of the hottest erotica content you can access. So to the connoisseurs, we'll see you on Patreon. To everyone else, see you in a month's time. See ya, sexies. Mwah.